Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. These are truly sad, even stunning, sadly stunning stories about suicides. Now, suicides among teens and young people happen all the time, but in the last year, there have been a spate of suicides that have been connected, at least in the press, with homosexual bullying. That is, kids, college students, high school students who are gay, being bullied in school and outside of school to the point where they take their own lives. Not one, not two, but many accounts. Now, when the press deals with this, when the media deals with this, a connection is almost immediately made. And that's between what many Christian churches still teach about the biblical teaching on homosexuality and these suicides. We're told sometimes, well, it's what Christians say about homosexuality, about it being a sin that leads to the bullying to the depression, to the despair, and eventually to the suicides. Is that connection real? Joining us to talk about bullying, violence, and Christian teaching on homosexuality, Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling based in Tustin, California, author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality. He's also written the cover story for the latest Christian research journal titled The Bully Pulpit, When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? Joe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good being with you, Todd.
You note near the end of your article in the Christian Research Journal, that, along with Dr. Al Mohler, a regular guest on this program, that the pro-gay critics of the bullying and of Christians aren't entirely right, but they aren't entirely wrong either. How so?
Well, not entirely wrong in that when they accuse Christians of, at times, being unloving, hyper-judgmental, or of elevating homosexuality to a kind of a special sin status, I think they're accurate. Not all Christians do that, of course. But there is enough, I believe, imbalance within the church on this issue that it does warrant some reflection on our part.
So how should we take what was kind of the popular explanation for the spate of gay-related suicides that happened recently, largely teenagers, college students, often connected directly to the bullying they experienced in school and elsewhere? The popular explanation was, well, Christianity is directly to blame for this. The teachings of Christianity are intolerant and homophobic. How should we take that?
Oh, we should take it the way we should take any false charge. We should refute it without allowing ourselves to get emotionally inflamed over it. If you think about this from a common sense perspective, Todd, if Christian teaching on homosexuality caused gay teenagers to kill themselves, we would have been seeing regular and routine gay teenage suicides for the last few centuries based on religious teaching. And of course, it would be clear that religious teaching influenced teenagers in general, and that's why gay teens were killing themselves. But none of that holds up under scrutiny, does it? Number one, this recent rash of suicides, and I documented it in my article, it's heartbreaking and it's horrible, and whatever can be done to prevent it, we need to do. But that said, to say that these teens killed themselves because of church teaching would be to say that Christian teaching on human sexuality in general is hugely influencing today's teenagers. Well, we know statistically that that is not true. Secondly, the kids who did bully these teens, and bullying is an evil thing to do, These kids were not doing so from a Christian perspective. They were not saying homosexuality is a sin, therefore we're going to beat you up. They simply were choosing to bully kids who were different than they were, and they made life so intolerable that these young boys ended up taking their own lives. So on the one hand, I think it's pretty easy to refute the charge that Christian teaching inspires bullying. But on the other hand, I don't think we can absolve ourselves of always having the right attitude towards homosexual people. It's entirely possible to maintain the biblical position that homosexuality falls short of God's intentions, because it does, and the Bible makes that plain. But it's possible to do that without resorting to a particular contempt for homosexual people. And that's the balance we have to strive for.
How would you evaluate what was another response? And this was undertaken by many in the media, celebrities, along with a lot of prominent church leaders. There was a campaign called It Gets Better. Presidents and leaders of major denominations took part in it. The message was essentially, look, we know how difficult it is to be a gay young person. We're accepting of your lifestyle, of you. We're affirming of the homosexual lifestyle, and it'll get better. Don't kill yourself, essentially. While I think this is very well-intentioned, what's missing there?
Well, two things are missing in it. One, there's not the balanced truth, of course, that especially for clergy should be there, the full counsel of God. I'm not that disturbed when I hear secular leaders say that homosexuality is normal, because I don't expect the world to affirm what the Bible affirms. But when people who call themselves Christian leaders begin rewriting the Bible to accommodate the times, that's pretty disturbing. And it also presumes that anytime someone disagrees with someone about homosexuality, the person doing the disagreeing is guilty of some form of hatred. And that's nonsense by any reasonable standards. Reasonable people can disagree about homosexuality, whether it's natural or not, whether it's right or not, whether it's inborn or acquired later in life. We can disagree on these things without hating. And to say that if someone believes homosexuality is not what our Creator intended, is thereby hating homosexual people, is basically to revise the meaning of the word hate. Hate doesn't mean disagreement. Disagreement doesn't mean hate.
Is there something else missing here, Joe? Namely, a recognition of a connection between suicide rates, suicidal tendencies, and homosexuality?
Well, nothing has been proven so far as to what caused these particular kids to reach a point of ending their own lives, other than the fact that they had been pretty relentlessly bullied. But then again, many other kids are relentlessly bullied and don't commit suicide, so we don't know. We do know that suicide rates tend to be higher among the homosexual population than the heterosexual population. Now, some would argue that that's because homosexuals are discriminated against and hated. Others would argue that that's because homosexuality is in and of itself unhealthy and thereby makes people more susceptible to alcoholism and drug abuse and depression. Truthfully, I don't know which it is. I know that homosexuality falls short of what God intended. I know that God can and does redeem homosexual people, because I'm someone who was involved in homosexuality, who God pulled out of that back in 1984. But other than that, again, I think what we have to do is plainly refute the false charge that Christian teaching on homosexuality causes bullying, which causes suicide, while also clearly giving the full counsel of God, that God deeply loves all people, homosexual people included, and God calls all people to take up their crosses and follow Christ, whatever that cross may be.
Let's come back to something you pointed out early in our conversation, and that is the tendency for Christians, well-meaning Christians, to classify homosexuality almost in a category by itself as some sort of a sin. They wouldn't say unforgivable, but they would say it certainly kind of stands head and shoulders above the other garden variety sins. Where did this notion come from, and how do we refute it?
Well, I can tell you where it didn't come from. It didn't come from the Bible. The Bible absolutely condemns homosexuality in Leviticus and Romans and 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy. But wherever you see homosexuality condemned in the Bible, it's condemned alongside many other sins, both sexual sins and non-sexual sins. So the Bible certainly doesn't elevate it to special sin status. Why is that done today? I don't know. I think in some cases people are bewildered by homosexuality. It seems strange and foreign to them, and so they inflame its wrongness. I think other people are angry about the gay rights movement and about the gains that it's made, and so they become especially inflamed over this particular sin. But whatever the reasons are, they're not valid. This is a sin like any other. No better, but certainly no worse.
When we come back, if not Christian teaching, if not what's being said in Christian pulpits, although it's being said less and less, what is influencing the hostility, the bullying, the violence against gay young people? What is actually bringing about the bullying that is so common nowadays? If it's not the Christian church's teaching, it must be coming from someplace else. If young people are actually not listening to what the Christian church has traditionally taught about homosexuality and it being a sin, if the church's declaration that homosexuality is, still is, sinful along with every other sin condemned by Scripture, where is the impetus for the bullying coming from? Joe Dallas is our guest. We're talking about bullying, violence, and Christian teaching about homosexuality on this Wednesday afternoon. He's program director of Genesis Counseling based in Tustin, California, author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, and he's author of the cover story in the latest Christian research journal, The Bully Pulpit, When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? If not preachers, then what? After this.
Started in 1972 by Wilbur and Larry Surrey, Oak Brook Golf Club is now the most affordable, friendliest, and consistently well-conditioned course in the Bi-State area. You will never break the bank to play Oak Brook, and we guarantee you will get your money's worth. With three nines, we have more tee times, making it easy to finish your round on time. We have the most experienced ground crew in the area, allowing us to always remain in great shape. At Oak Brook, golf is our business. The staff has been consistently voted the most friendly in the area. We offer an award-winning senior scramble on Tuesdays, PGA professionals on staff, family specials year-round where kids play free, lessons, junior camps, men's and women's leagues, and countless outings to satisfy your golfing needs. With our ever-improving course conditions and reasonable pricing, the choice is easy. Oak Brook Golf Club is the course to play. Contact us at 618-656-5600 or at oakbrookgc.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pro-abortion extremism on Capitol Hill.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion advocates have gone to extremes to head off the effort to defund Planned Parenthood. One notable example comes from Louise Slaughter, a Democratic congresswoman from New York. In a recent speech on the National Mall, Slaughter said the newly elected pro-life members of Congress are, quote, here to kill women. She then wrongly asserted that proposed legislation in Congress requires a person to have a receipt to get a tax deduction for their abortion. America would be like an old German Nazi movie, she said, with someone demanding, where are your papers? And who is Slaughter calling extremist?
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Joe Dallas about bullying, violence, and the Christian teaching about homosexuality. It's Wednesday afternoon, June the 15th. Joe, if not Christian teaching, if not what's being said in Christian pulpits about homosexuality, what is likely influencing the bullying, the violence against gay teens?
Great question. I think some of it, as I tried to point out in this article, some of it is the age-old problem of teenagers who are inherently insecure bullying anybody who's different than them, either the homosexual or the person who is more brainy or the person who is overweight or the person of another race or who knows what. There is a sick and a terrible tendency among many teenagers to bully people who are different than they are. I think that's one reason. I think another is insecurity. I think there are young men who are not quite secure in their own manhood, and as a result, they're very threatened to see a homosexual. They fear that they themselves might be homosexual, and so they take that fear out on the homosexual fellow student. What other reasons there could be, I don't know. There are probably many. We've never really resolved the problem of bullying in general, have we? We don't fully know why kids bully each other, but they do. Power during the teenage years is very important to the teenager, and some teens feel the only way they can get their power is to disempower other people by dominating them and bullying them.
There are pop culture voices here as well that are pretty blatantly hateful towards homosexuals. What are they?
Oh, sure there are. There always have been. I've been appalled not only at some of the lyrics that come from some rap singers, but also appalled at the double standard, the fact that rap singers who put out terrible lyrics about homosexuals can be popular, make millions, and somehow get a pass on that, when Christians who preach against homosexuality are written off as hateful and hate-inspiring. In my article, I pointed out, just for example, some lyrics from the rap singer Inaman, and his lyrics, and this man is very popular, award-winning, still sells millions of CDs, and is very, very popular. And here a popular singer in 2011 can sing, I'm ready to make everyone's throats aches. You faggots keep egging me on till I have you at knife point. My words are like a dagger with a jagged edge, and I'll stab you in the head whether you're a fag or a les. Homophobic? Hey, fags, the answer is yes. Now, can you imagine, Todd, anybody, a Christian leader, a political leader, a community leader, saying a thing like that and not being directly ostracized and criticized, and yet hear a rap singer who is very likely to influence young people not only gets a pass on this kind of lyric, but he actually makes millions from his work. So it's ironic to me because, again, modern musicians are much more likely to influence teenagers than conservative Christian leaders, and statistics bear that out as well. And yet, conservative Christian leaders who just say homosexuality is a sin, they get widely criticized as being homophobic. Inaman puts out lyrics that advocate literal murder of homosexual people, and he gets Grammys. It's a little crazy.
What do American youth apparently believe about homosexuality? You point out that, I mean, because it sounds like your point seems to be the problem here is bullying, not so much what young people think about homosexuality, because it seems as though they don't have, a lot of them don't really have a problem with it.
Well, statistically, young people are much more accepting of homosexuality than people in their middle age or teens. So just for example, even 10 years ago in the Journal of Extension, researchers found that 70%, Todd, of America's young adults aged 18 to 29 believed homosexuals should be allowed to marry. Okay. Now that's opposed to, of course, the middle-aged and older-aged adult population that disapproves of homosexuality much more broadly than teens do. But the point is, the upcoming generation is very accepting of homosexuality. So it's silly to think that on the one hand, the upcoming generation broadly approves of homosexuality, and on the other hand, that religious teachers are influencing the upcoming generation. Unfortunately, we clearly are not.
I mean, we should be seeing, if that's true, 70% of young people either non-committal or approving of homosexual behavior, should be seeing the bullying going down, shouldn't we? If the problem were just what they believed about homosexuality.
Well, the interesting point. The people who literally bully homosexuals are in their own particular subgroup. You know, it's one thing to disapprove of homosexuality. It's another thing to bully a homosexual person. And only a small percentage of teens would actually do such a thing. So the majority of teens do, in general, accept homosexuality and approve of it. But within the teenage population, there are those who will pick on anybody different than them and commit an act of violence against them. So I think that's why we still have the problem of teens bullying openly homosexual students.
One of the things that is inevitably brought up when pop culture discusses these tragic bullyings and the suicides that result are other public policy issues that they just kind of toss it all in. They'll toss in same-sex marriage. They'll toss in the right of gay couples to adopt. They'll toss in don't ask, don't tell. Let's deal with those if we could, even though they don't properly really belong in the conversation about bullying. They're often brought up as further causes or evidences of a homophobic society. Is something like don't ask, don't tell homophobia written into policy?
Well, Todd, the key word there is disingenuous. That's a word that describes what people do when they are trying to persuade the public of a point, and they will pull out anything, whether accurate or inaccurate, to prove their point. And this is a good example. It's very disingenuous to say that don't ask, don't tell, or debates over gay marriage have anything at all to do with teens bullying gays. They don't. The teens who were bullying gays were not doing it because don't ask, don't tell is in place. Because, again, if that was the case, we'd have seen this bullying years and years ago, year after year, and we'd see the same rash of gay suicides among teenagers year after year, and we don't. So it really is an exercise in futility to try to connect the dots between those policy issues and the fact that there are unstable teens who will always bully people who are different than they are. You may as well try to say that because horror movies feature people killing other people, that therefore every murder should be blamed on the most recent horror film that came out. I don't think you're ever going to make an accurate connection between the two.
So in effect here, today's youth are probably not paying attention to something like don't ask, don't tell. If they are, there's a very good likelihood that they agree it should be eliminated in the U.S. military.
That's my point exactly, Todd. I think they are paying attention to a point, to issues like same-sex marriage and don't ask, don't tell. But the conclusions they're drawing are that same-sex couples should be allowed to marry and that don't ask, don't tell was rightly overturned. So the position they take tends to be pro-gay, just like the position most teenagers take, thank God, is that all races are equal and that people of minority races should be treated with the same respect and consideration as people of a majority race. That is absolutely what most teens believe. And yet, there will always be a small percentage of teenagers who hate racial minorities and who will bully them, and that will always be the case.
So what's a young Christian to do who wants nothing to do with the bullying, who believes what Scripture teaches about the nature of homosexual sin, as with all other sins, sexual and otherwise, and who doesn't want to be cowed into silence? In other words, to be a victim of kind of what, a conspiracy of silence?
Yes.
What is a young person to do?
Well, I think the parable of the Good Samaritan is apt in a case like this. I wish that in all of these cases, Christian students who knew about this bullying would have stood up for the gay students who were being bullied. You can absolutely disapprove of homosexuality and vehemently defend a homosexual against violence. And they could have, and they should have. And so I wish that Christians would take it more to heart that our primary responsibility towards homosexual people is not just to tell them that homosexuality is a sin. We should defend any fellow citizen who is being mistreated. When Jesus was asked, "Who is my neighbor?" in response to his commandment to love your neighbor, he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan, in essence, offered aid to someone who had been bullied without necessarily approving of every part of that person's life. So specifically, in a public school setting, if a young homosexual student is being bullied, young Christian students could walk that person from class to class, have lunch with that person, remind that person that God loves him and that they love him too and that they're there for him if he needs help. There's a lot that they could do to protect a fellow student from this kind of treatment. And again, I wish and I hope that they would do it.
When we come back, 10 more minutes with Joe Dallas on bullying and the Christian teaching on homosexuality, I wonder, is the answer sensitivity training, where our young people are taught to be affirming of homosexuality? What's the difference between toleration and affirmation? We'll get Joe's answer after this.
You'll find 130 Bible stories for young children in the Story Bible. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. The Story Bible contains high-quality, realistic art, discussion questions, and prayers. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Story Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. Christ-centered, cross-focused, the Story Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is a children's book. Not one of the thin little children's books like you're used to. This is one you can use over and over again over the course of years. The best ages for your kids. You're never too early to start teaching and introducing your children to the Word of God. And one way that many parents have found helpful, grandparents have found helpful as well, is a story Bible. Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is the Story Bible from Concordia Publishing House. It has more than 100 Bible stories, a way to acquaint your children with the real narrative of Scripture in a way that engages them at their age, at their level. Find out more about the Story Bible at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of our website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Story Bible for a kid that you know. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Story Bible. Joe Dallas is our guest. We're talking about bullying, violence, and the Christian teaching about homosexuality. He's program director of Genesis Counseling based in Tustin, California, author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality. And he's written the cover story for the latest Christian Research Journal. His article is titled, The Bully Pulpit When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? Joe, is the answer, in effect, sensitivity training for our young people, where they are taught not merely to tolerate homosexual behavior, but to affirm it? What's the difference between the two?
Well, I think you used the words very well, the difference between tolerance and affirmation. When I tolerate something, it means that I, in essence, may disagree with it, but I tolerate it because I live in a society made of people who have free will and are given freedom of speech and conscience and religion, and I must tolerate that. When I affirm something, it means I agree with it. If you tell me to tolerate, you're right. If you tell me to affirm, you're in essence attempting to brainwash me. That is the difference.
Do you think that the fact that we're kind of walking a knife's edge here, Joe, it's not necessarily good news that 70% of young people in America, at last count, really have no problem with homosexuality or gay marriage and things like that, is it?
It's not good news at all, because it tells me that, contrary to the charges that some people are making, Christian leaders, pastors, evangelists, Bible teachers are largely not influencing the upcoming generation, which means that the upcoming generation is developing and, in fact, has developed a worldview that is absent Christianity. And I think that is very bad news for the culture indeed. I think that the broader problem we have is not just the problem that teens are accepting of homosexuality, but the problem that teens have largely rejected a biblically based worldview, either because they have not heard one presented or because the one they have presented is one that they simply don't buy into. Either way, you're right, it's not good news.
As long as we have organizations like Westboro Baptist Church, and we don't need to catalog all of the things that they've done and said, is mainline Christianity, I'm talking here about Christians who in goodwill simply want to uphold biblical teaching, are we ever going to be able, practically speaking, to shake the stigma of homophobia?
I don't know if we can, because I think it's in the interest of the gay rights movement to keep labeling us as homophobic, no matter how loving and considerate we may be. So you can't necessarily shake a stigma if a large portion of the culture is invested in you having that stigma. But whether the stigma is there or not, we have a twofold challenge, and both parts are equally important. On the one hand, we have to be teaching the Word of God plainly and clearly as it affects human day-to-day experience, including sexual relationships. At the same time, we have to be sure that we are combating prejudice and acts of violence against other people and showing ourselves as loving, good Samaritans in the most practical sense. And to accept that challenge, I think, is the only biblically based option that we have.
One of the things that the church has sadly done in the last several decades is it has gone quiet on many issues. It hasn't necessarily changed what you'd find in terms of kind of the Bible class teaching or even teachings in sermons as long as the windows are closed and the door is closed. The private teachings. But its public voice has gone silent on things like adultery, on things like divorce as well. And I wonder whether or not that's in the future on the issue of homosexuality. It will simply be easier, more convenient for the church to remain publicly silent, a quietist approach on that issue, than bear the slings and arrows that culture is prepared to throw its way. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think the church, to a large extent, has already acquiesced by its silence, because we all know homosexuality is a controversial topic. If you take the traditional biblically based position on it, you will cause some controversy, no matter how politely you express that position. But, you know, the irony is that it is it's self-deceptive to think that you can remain silent on this issue, because at some point you will be pushed by the culture to take a position one way or another. So your choice is either going to be to change your position or take a biblically based position. The question is, do you want to take it now, or do you want to take it when you're pushed up against the wall to take it? One way or another, you will have to take it.
So this is obviously not going to be the last. We would hope that it would be, but I don't think it will be the last of the times that there is a gay suicide and the Christians are blamed. Someone turns on the news. They see a pro-gay activist interviewed. They say Christians are to blame. This backward teaching, it's homophobic. This is just more of the hatred that is being spewed by churches. How do we respond?
I think we can respond with a common sense approach by, again, gently pointing out that disagreement and hatred are different matters, that the Christian worldview is not primarily about homosexuality. It's not even primarily about sexuality. It is that we have a creator who has specific intentions for our experience, including our sexual experience, and that many behaviors fall short of those intentions, homosexuality included.
And then they would counter Joe. They'd say, look, Joe, we know that maybe your intentions are good here, that you do not want to encourage violence or bullying or push young people to suicide. But there's the law of unintended consequences, Joe. It's what you're teaching that is moving others to do this.
If that were the case, then people would be out bullying not just homosexuals, but prostitutes, adulterers, porn stars, people who routinely divorce and remarry. If teaching against a sexual behavior caused people to assault those who are engaged in that behavior, we would see acts of violence against and suicide among many different populations at an increased rate, not just the homosexual population, and we don't. So clearly that's not the case.
Joe Dallas is Program Director of Genesis Counseling based in Tustin, California, author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality. He's also written the cover story for the latest Christian research journal titled The Bully Pulpit, When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? You'll find a link to Genesis Counseling and to Joe's book, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Joe, thanks for being our guest.
Great being with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Folks, you can help us contend for truth in an age of anti-truth by making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Remember, no gift is too small. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the challenging summer months. What does the church do in response to the continued cultural affirmation of homosexuality, along with the continued hostility and bullying toward homosexual individuals? Both are wrong. To affirm a sin is something that the church cannot in good conscience do. It is sometimes the easy way out, but it is not the way permitted us by God's clear word. So what do we do? We begin by teaching what the Bible really does say about homosexuality, that it is a sin like every other sin. My sin, your sin, sin is sin. And there is only one answer to that sin, and that is the sinless life of Jesus Christ, lived for us, laid down for us at the cross, and taken up again in his resurrection. And that goes for sinners like me and sinners like anyone else, like you, or someone else you know. That goes for homosexuality as well as all the other sins as well. We cannot affirm sin in someone else any more than we can affirm sin in ourselves. If we do that, we essentially say we don't need the sinless life of Jesus that he laid down for us at the cross. What is the answer? To clearly proclaim God's law to all sin, my sin, your sin, homosexual sin, and to clearly proclaim God's gospel of Jesus Christ's sinless life, lived for us all, laid down at the cross, and taken up again in his resurrection for all sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.